Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. John chapter 1, are you there? Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Lord Jesus, here we all are. We're your people, this is your book. And we ask you to open the scriptures to us. Holy Spirit, you know what we need, and you know that I have no clue. So we simply ask you to go to our heart's level today and help us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this. John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, mankind. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Incredible statement from John chapter 1. This one buddy of mine, he told me that his daughter had their first grandchild. They're all excited. So the daughter puts on a big party for everybody to meet the baby. And they had the food and everything was great. And after dinner, everyone said, okay, we can't stand it anymore. Get that little guy out here. He's got to be done with his net by then now. And mom went into the bassinet, and there was nobody there. And she thought for a moment, remembered, oh, I left her at my mother-in-law's house. I got to go get the baby. She had the party. She forgot the baby. That's funny. I have never heard of that before. Have you? Yeah, they forgot to go pick the little dude up. So, let me just say to you, don't be misplacing Jesus during this time of the year. It is a precious time of the year, and it's a time for us to remember some of the most important things in all of history. And that is that God became a man, which to me is amazing. That the theologians call it the incarnation, the God coming into human form. This is the mysterious miracle at the very heart of everything that we believe. We get John, sweet John, making these incredible statements at the beginning of his gospel. It's like a symphony at the beginning. He tells us who this Jesus is. You know, maybe you've been walking in darkness. Maybe you've been staying away from the scriptures, thinking that somehow you're just going to get it. You know, you're just going to get it in your heart. I want you to know something. We make decisions based on what God has revealed to us in the Bible. Then we make decisions, and we're on the right road. The Bible tells us what lane to be in, okay? Gives us the information that we need. It's very important. And whenever we turn away from what the scriptures say and just take the cultural Jesus that's out there, man, we really miss it. You know the sun shines all the time? 24/7 the sun shines, doesn't it? 24/7. Do you want to know why it gets dark here at night? Of course, the sun, you know, the sun is placed and we're rotating around the sun. And of course, the earth is turning on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour. And every night it gets dark here for one reason. We've turned away from the light. Whenever we turn away from the truth of God's word and think the answer for our life is anywhere else, we're walking in darkness. God hasn't changed. His truth continues to shine, but we, especially at this time of year, it's time. For many of you listening to me here in this room and somewhere else, I want you all to know it's time to turn back, to turn back to him. That's where you're going to get light, is when we turn back. And John, let me tell you just a couple things about John. He is the ultimate eyewitness of all things. John was Jesus' closest disciple, friend on earth. John was the closest one to him. It was John, if you remember, at that great Last Supper before Jesus' crucifixion. They describe the disciple whose head is resting against the chest of Jesus. They're eating around a table. They're all huddled around this little table. It isn't a big fancy thing like Michelangelo painted. It's actually very close quarters. John could hear the very heartbeat of Jesus. It blows my mind. In fact, it was John who wrote later. He wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Speaking of Jesus as the word, John was really quite a guy. You know, when Jesus was taken captive before his crucifixion, it says they all forsook him and ran. Well, John seemed to just kind of go around the block and rethink it and came back and stayed with Jesus throughout all the rest of it and observed all of it. The trials, all of it. The terrible atrocity of his death and murder, torture, all for our sins. John, eyewitness, saw all of that. Do you remember the scene at the cross when Jesus was dying? Jesus dying. Think of what Jesus was going through. But he pauses and says to John, "Son, this is your mother." So he's taking care of his mom. And he says, "Mother, behold your son." He tells John to take Mary home. Now, you want to know the truth about the Christmas story? Take Mary home with you. Maybe she had some info. What do you think? Holy cow, this guy is the eyewitness of eyewitnesses. He's the only disciple that didn't die of martyrdom, wasn't killed for his faith. Now, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, a prison island, and they couldn't stop him there because it was there on that island that Jesus was going to reveal to him the great last book of the Bible, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ about the ends of time. I mean, it's a fantastic man. And talk about a guy that could give us some wonderful information. He writes at the end of this gospel, "If everything could be written down that Jesus did, the world could not contain the books." But man, he had a whole lot more than just what he wrote to us, but this is what God intended us to have. So he lived to be very, very old. He suffered for his faith, but wasn't killed. And in those last years, they would call him the old man. In his 90s. What a guy. John tells us about Jesus, and when he tells us about Jesus, we better listen. An eyewitness. Now, talked about John, let's talk about Jesus for a minute. What he says about Jesus is absolutely startling. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you've neglected the scriptures. That's a terrible thing to do. You know, I know a lot of preachers. It's what I do. Between preachers and funeral directors, hundreds of them are friends of mine, so I get all these stories. This one preacher told me that he went to the head deacons after he took this church. He went to have dinner with the head deacon at their house. And before dinner, the head deacon said, "Well, we need to have a reading. Pastor, would you do us the honor of reading for us?" And he says to his daughter, "Would you go get the good book, honey?" And she came back with a Sears catalog. I love that. Embarrassed. You know, don't neglect this. It's really important that we... Well, you know what? Look what he says about Jesus. I'm going to read it again from John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Get this. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." There is so much here. Guys, we could spend years on this. But let me just give you some basics he's talking about. He's saying, number one, that Jesus is eternal. In the beginning, he was already there. You know, when you and I came into existence, we did not exist before we were conceived through the love of our parents. We didn't exist before then. I know the Mormon church has this wacko idea that there's all these spirits out there that need bodies, and so they're going to have all these babies so that all these unembodied spirits can have, you know, come and live on earth. That's a wacko. It's wacky. I don't know where they get that. I said to a Mormon friend of mine just recently, he says, "I'm reading the Bible cover to cover." I said, "Then leave that other stuff alone and just read the scriptures. Because the stuff you've added to the Bible is just nuts. It doesn't exist, man." And they have that whole weird idea. The Bible tells us plainly we did not exist before we were conceived. Now, the Lord knew us. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That means he knew all about us. It's not that he had a relationship with us. Of course, he's eternal, so he's in the future too, so he did have a relationship, but that's a whole nother story. But you did not exist before the time you were conceived. Jesus, when he was conceived on earth, had always existed. I mean, that's an amazing statement. He's eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Do you see this? It says he was with God in the beginning. There is this statement about there being a plurality of who God is. We call it the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are revealed in the Bible as being God. In the beginning, he was eternal. He was part of this great relationship of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Something else, it says, not only was he with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Get this. He's the creator of all things. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing has been made that has been made. Jesus was not a created being. You and I are created beings. He was an eternal. He is the eternal one who entered earth. I mean, to me, it's an astounding thought. He himself is the creator. And then the New Testament tells us that he is the sustainer of this earth too. Jesus. All right, get this. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know, God has life within himself. You and I don't have life within ourselves. You know, the only reason we are alive is because God has given us the breath of life. That's him. He was eternal life. And then it says, the amazing miracle is verse 14. This word, this last statement of God himself to the world, this word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. How in the world did that happen? So we have John, the incredible witness. We have Jesus, the Almighty God. We got to get this guy to earth. We got to get him here. How in the world could that happen? Luke chapter 1. You've read it many times before, I'm sure. Luke chapter 1. Here was God's plan for doing it. It was Isaiah who said in chapter 7, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child, and you will call him Emmanuel." And by the way, the word Emmanuel means literally God with us. So, here's the fulfillment of that promise in Luke chapter 1. Are you with me? Luke 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin. By the way, you know what that means in the Greek? It means virgin. Okay, just so that I don't want you to be confused. Pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Here's this 13 or 14-year-old girl that has an angel appear to her. Mary was greatly troubled, no kidding, at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus," which means Jehovah is salvation, right? "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Ever, his kingdom will never end." Man, that's a lot for a little girl to take in. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," there's the word the third time. You think they're ever emphasizing this? Yes, they are. "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" How do we get this eternal God to become a man? And to put on human skin through a virgin named Mary. Incredible to me. Incredible. This John tells us about this Jesus. And the scriptures then tell us about the journey that Jesus had to take to get here. And the fact of the matter is, he's God. A buddy of mine just bought a motorhome. Barry, my friend, he worked hard his whole life, and he's going to go suffer for Jesus in Florida all winter now. There's a big sailboat that he'll spend half of his time on in the Gulf of Mexico. He's going to be tough this year. I can tell. I feel sorry for him. He just bought a Prevost motorhome. If you ever see Country Stars Travel, that's a Prevost, okay? He bought a Prevost. Now, you understand, he's just trying to get from point A to point B with the Prevost, just trying to get from here to Florida and have something to live in. But, dude, this is like way over the top. It is something else. And he said, it's unbelievable to drive, and it's going to get me where I need to go. But something happened. He opened up the glove box, and in the glove box is this encyclopedia he found that is the manual for this beast. He said, this thing does everything. Really, I said. He goes, oh, man, it massages your back. The seats have like magic fingers in them. Do that for me, I'll fall asleep and crash in the ditch somewhere, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah, a little lower, please. Thank you. It would be terrible, you know. If this thing does, just the options. This machine had $70,000 of extra options put on it when the man who had owned it before him had 9,000 miles on it. It was over $500,000 new. And the guy drove it 2,000 miles back from where he bought it and only drove it to Petoskey every summer for a weekend. That's the only thing he ever did with this. And then my buddy Barry's got it. But I'll tell you what changed his life was that manual. This thing does everything. Let me tell you, you might be doing the Christmas thing, got your tree up, got your baby Jesus in the nativity and all of that. You know, you go to the Christmas services, you do all that. You know, this is a whole lot more than just a tradition. This manual tells us all this incredible stuff about what this is really about. And you know what it's really about? God came here, and he was human 100%, and he was God 100%. You say, that's impossible. Yep, but it happened. Do you ever read the books At Home in Mitford? Oh, it's a great series of books about this Episcopal priest, Father Tim. And you know what? One time, there's a scene within the first story. One day, Father Tim comes into the church, and there's a man up by the chancel of the old church. And he's in the pews, and he's shouting, "Are you up there? Are you up there?" So Father Tim kind of slips in and sits behind him a little ways and lets him keep asking this question, "Are you up there? Are you up there?" And Father Tim says, "You know, you could be asking the wrong question." Kind of startles the guy, you know. He was a salesman, a shoe salesman in the story. He says, you know, you're asking, are you up there? You know, the real question is, we should ask him if he's down here. Jesus came down here so he could be with us. God with us. To me, that is amazing. The Great Virgin, amazing. Giving birth to God himself. There's one other thing I want to say. I mean, we talked about John. We talked about Jesus. We talked about the journey, him coming here through a virgin. One more thing I want to say. What does this mean? It means that God is with us, but it's more than that. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever audited a college class? Oh, I do that. You know, Hillsdale offers some stuff, and some other places offer some things. I audit stuff online, and, you know, because you always want to be learning, right? Always learning, always reading. That's what education is. Is a continual education of yourself, always, always learning. It's a great thing. But you know, when you audit a class, you didn't pay for it. You didn't buy the books. And the big thing is you don't have to take a test at the end, right? Do you ever feel like you have audited the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, you've heard it. Oh, you've listened, but you're just audit. You're not really taking the class. Let me tell you something. You are taking the class. And the big deal is there is a test. At the end, it's called the Great Judgment, where all of us one day are going to have to stand before the living God and give an answer. And we'll either try to talk our way out of it, and that doesn't go well, or we'll stand before him and say that we believed that God became a man, Jesus, and he went to a cross and died for our sins, resurrected from the dead, and the blood of that cross has been applied to my sins. And the Bible says, and the books will be opened, and everyone will be judged out of what's written in the book. And for all who trust in Jesus, you know what's written in the book for you? Paid in full, set free, child of God. It all comes down to this. You're going to try to audit this Jesus thing? You can't do that. You can't get away with that. You can do it in other places in life, but not here. God has come to us. That's the greatest event in all history we all have to answer for. You think about that. Let's stand together to sing, shall we? God bless you guys. Thanks for being here today. Let's pray together. and then we'll sing. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of all of this. Would you help all of us today? Encourage us. Thank you that you came here for us. Thank you that you are available for all who trust in you. Lord, I ask that a bunch of us will find comfort and help because of you, Jesus, and what you've done for us. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.